It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bulbarch, Matt Douglas with you for just about another hour or so here. And time now for us to talk some Cavaliers basketball. We'll do that with Tim Alcorn, Cleveland Cavaliers radio play-by-play voice. And it's brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco. Make sure you visit your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every day of the year. And make sure you tune in at the end of our interview with Tim Alcorn, because we will be giving away a mystery Cavalier prize. It could be a bobblehead, it could be a jersey, it could be a t-shirt, it could be tickets to a Cavaliers basketball game as well. But you'll have to listen for your cue to call at the end of our talk with Tim Alcorn to find out what the prize for today is. Tim, a pleasure to have you on as always, my friend. How are you?
It's great to be on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You know, this is becoming habit-forming. Someone would think I'm employed by WEOL or something.
No matter how hard you try, you just can't get away, my friend. You were in Orlando last night, and here you are less than 24 hours later. We've got you back on the air again, and we're discussing a 94-85 setback in the season opener against the Orlando Magic. Now, not a bad little charge the Cavaliers put together towards the end of the game to kind of close the gap and lose by single digits, but, you know, from the get-go, it seemed like the Cavaliers got out to a decent start in the first quarter against Orlando, and there were certainly some flashes along the way there, Tim. Let's begin with your three major takeaways from the season opener.
Well, the three major takeaways, number one would be what you saw last night, you'll see again as this year moves along. It's a young basketball team, so there's going to be ups and downs, but they're committed to this process. The Cavaliers truly believe that a foundation is being laid for success. So last night, as you just said, there were some ups, there were some downs. They made some nice runs at Orlando, and that's a playoff team that's very hard to beat on their home floor. So that would be takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, the Cavaliers, at least last night, they got beat because of bench play. Orlando just got some terrific contributions off the bench. Markel Fultz with 12. I believe Michael Carter-Williams, Terrence Ross, had a double-digit game. He finished up with 10. And for the Cavaliers, they just didn't get that production off the bench. Not a bad game for Larry Nance Jr., 9 points, 14 rebounds. But, boy, Jordan Clarkson really struggled, 2 of 12 from the field, only 7 points in the ball game. So bench play, they need that to improve if they're going to win some basketball games here in the near future. And I think the third takeaway would be on the glass. The Cavaliers more than held their own. In fact, Kevin Love said after the ball game, this team can rebound the basketball. They had guys last night, three guys, in fact, in double digits with rebound. Love was 18, I believe. I mentioned Larry Nance with 14 rebounds. Tristan had 11. So they'll hold their own as far as rebounding the basketball, and that's a good sign.
You talked about the bench play, and I want to stick with that for just a moment, because when you look at the box score, one of the first things that jumps out to me is that shooting percentage for the Cavaliers shot just over 37% from the field. But to go back to your point about the bench, you add those numbers up, the Cavalier bench shot just 27%. And certainly that's something that's going to have to change. Do you think that was a result of the defense that was being played by the Magic, or do you think the Cavaliers just kind of came out a little bit rusty?
I think it's more the latter. I think they just didn't shoot the ball well. Jordan Clarkson was 2 of 12, I believe. That's not very Jordan Clarkson-esque, to use that term. He normally is a much better shooter than that. Rookie Kevin Porter Jr., he was an 0 for from the field. He was 0 for 6, I believe. So you put Clarkson and Porter together, that's 2 of 18 just from those two. So, listen, I'm sure the rookie had a lot of emotions going through him. First time playing in an NBA game, you're on the road, coming off the bench. He had some good looks, and my recollection is, as I kind of remember calling the game, there were a couple of shots with Porter where I said in and out. I mean, they would go halfway down and pop back out on him again. So I still think Kevin Porter is going to be a dynamic player for this team. And you're not going to see too many 2-for-12s from Jordan Clarkson. Of course, last year averaged, what, about 17 per game coming off the bench. So I think it was just the fact they didn't shoot the ball well last night.
And if we could stay with Kevin Porter Jr., last night in the first quarter, you and Jim Jones mentioned this during the broadcast, that even though he didn't play particularly well last night or didn't shoot particularly well, in what you guys have seen so far from him, it doesn't seem like the game is too fast for him, and it doesn't seem like these moments are too big for him. Can you expand on that and explain why you guys are seeing that from him, why you don't think the game appears to be too fast for him at this point?
Well, I know Jim has talked about that throughout the preseason leading up to the opener last night. The fact that, listen, these kids, you know, Kevin Porter Jr. and obviously Darius Garland and even Dylan Windler, who we'll see at some point here in the next few weeks, they have played in so many games as far as just coming up, you know, through AAU, through high school. They were all on state championship teams and even their limited college experience. So the big stage doesn't seem to bother them. You know, it's not like they're going from Hickory out in Indiana to the NBA floor. I mean, they've been in big-time moments, and so it doesn't seem to faze them, per se. And the speed of the game, they were able, at least last night, and I think they'll be able to throughout the season, adapt to that pretty quickly. Darius Garland, I thought, ran a terrific point guard last night, and he's a point guard that can shoot it. There were a couple of threes that he nailed last night, Bull. I mean, they were way out. So I think Darius Garland is going to be just fine. Again, I really like Kevin Porter Jr. He is dynamic. Again, bad shooting night last night. That's going to happen. But I think he's going to contribute, and I'm looking forward to seeing Windler as well, because he does take part in shooting drills in practice. I'll tell you what, that young man can light it up. He moves around that floor, and he doesn't miss too many. So the core group that the Cavs drafted, those three first-round draft picks back in June, they're going to be fun to watch as this year moves along. And, you know, to your original point, no, I don't think the stage will be too big for them and the game too fast for them at all.
You talked about Darius Garland, and I know that after he hit one of those threes, you mentioned he knocked it down for Magic Kingdom, which I thought was fantastic last night. That was really awesome. And one of the things that stood out in watching some of the highlights and watching him last night and listening to you guys last night, seems like he's got a pretty quick trigger and he doesn't need a whole lot of room to get off that shot.
No. In fact, there are some who believe, and we'll see how it unfolds here, but there are some in the organization who think right now Darius Garland may be the best shooter on the team. And when you look at the Cavaliers roster, I mean, they're not loaded up with guys that can hit shots and create points for themselves. But just from a pure shooting standpoint, Darius Garland has that ability. And it is. It's a quick release. I think it was last night, Chip Jones said it was Steph Curry-like when he hit that one from way out. I mean, he got it and he shot it in a hurry. So it's a quick release. It's a nice shot. And again, Garland last night was 3 of 9, with 2 of those from downtown. I don't think he'll end up being a 33% shooter. So, as we've said, you're going to see flashes. You're going to see glimpses of these guys as the year moves along. And I think Darius Garland showed a few of those flashes last night.
Talking Cleveland Cavaliers basketball with the voice of the Cavs, Tim Alcorn, and it's brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Tim, I want to hit on Colin Sexton. Yesterday, dumped in 16 points, and he certainly looked a little bit better with his perimeter game, and he was 3 of 8 from beyond the arc, and he did have a couple of assists, and I know that was an area where people kind of picked on him a little bit last year. They didn't think he was enough of a facilitator. What were your thoughts on the performance of Colin Sexton last night?
I thought Colin played well as the game went along. And I think, you know, I've mentioned to a few people, I think what John Beilein is trying to coach out of Colin Sexton is the dribbling aspect. He tends to have that ball get stuck in his hands. And so I think they're working on that. But as far as distribution is concerned, actually, Bull, I think that responsibility will now fall more to Darius Garland. Colin Sexton can play more of a true two guard now. Again, they're going to tinker. They're going to play with it. But Colin Sexton, believe me, he's special. I mean, you saw last March what he can do. He really showed in that month that, man, when he gets it going on the offensive end, he can score when he wants to. And I think with Garland now in the mix as that true point guard. That's going to free Collin up even more. So one game, 5 of 15 from the field, there's another 33% night, and I don't think you'll see that too much from Collin Sexton. So I think the Cavs' backcourt, it's young, but I think it's in pretty good shape for the future.
Do you get the impression that what we saw from Kevin Love last night, the way in which he was used, is that just an isolated one-night incident, or is that something we're going to see throughout the course of the year? Because he only attempted 1 3-point shot last night, controlled the glass as he normally does, and it seemed like he did a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and again, boy, I know I used the term earlier, tinkering. I mean, you're going to see John Beilein really play with a lot of things. In fact, I know he mentioned that during both his pregame comments last night as well as when he spoke to the media after the ball game. That, listen, we're going to look at some video. We're going to look at combinations. We're going to see what we liked, what we didn't like, who matches up or who works together well as far as both offensively and defensively. So last night was number 1 of 82. And there's a long, long way to go. And I'm sure they're just trying to fit the pieces of the puzzle together. Kevin Love's resume speaks for itself. I mean, 5-time All-Star, just a double-double guy every night, has shown he can knock down the long ball. If they go small, though, with the three guards, which we actually saw last night, for a few minutes we saw Sexton, Garland, and Porter on the floor at the same time. Boy, that's tough to put Kevin out there on the wing because then you have nothing down low. So I think at times you saw him in that low block, in that low post, based off matchups and based off who else was out there for the Cavaliers. So they're going to keep playing with this. They're going to keep tinkering with this and kind of figure it all out here in the next 3, 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks. I mean, however long it takes them to see what they want to utilize as far as lineups are concerned.
And they're not 100% healthy yet either. I think that's important to note also. I thought Tristan Thompson looked great yesterday, but you'd like to think the Cavaliers want to mix a few more bodies in down low with the likes of John Henson. And, of course, Ante Zizic, who's got the plantar fasciitis, he's going to be out for a little while also. Any update on the injury to those two guys and when we might be able to expect to see them back?
No, I know Coach Beilein was asked about that, and it's one of those day-by-day situations. I think the Henson loss was a big one because, as I just mentioned, they don't have a lot of bigs right now. You've got Love and Thompson, and that's about it. And I think they were counting on Henson to have that presence in the low block. So that one really hurts. And obviously losing Ante Zizic, for the near term, that was painful as well. So, yeah, they're going to have to fight through this right now and see how it plays out. But you know what? That's life in the NBA. I mean, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have guys that just can't go for a couple of games at a time. And you have to fight through it. You have to work through it. But at this point, no, not really any news to share insofar as updates on the injury front.
Well, and again, to go back to what Thompson did last night, not only did he turn in a double-double, but he tried keeping up with Vucevic, and that can be a very, very difficult task. And I think Tristan Thompson's a guy they're certainly going to rely on. He's one of the veterans on this team. And, you know, Tim, I've always said, you know, regardless of what you think about Tristan Thompson, he's always been one of those guys. Win, lose, or draw, the Cavaliers always seem to have a guy like this that they can lean on who's always able to answer the bell and answer some tough questions after losses. And, you know, I think with Thompson, it's been more than just the production numbers with him.
Absolutely. That's a great point, Bull. He kind of puts his hard hat on and brings his lunch pail to work every single solitary ball game. And as you said, solid performance last night. 16 points, 11 rebounds. You can pretty much pencil him in for a double-double every night. He works on the defensive end of the floor. And as you said, I thought he bodied up Vucevic pretty well. I mean, he's an all-star. He had a 21-point ball game last night, but he earned those 21. And I thought Tristan played him pretty well. So you're right. Tristan Thompson is that steady force. I mean, it's hard to believe. He's a real seasoned veteran now. You still think of him as that young player. But Tristan, along with Kevin Love and Delly, those three veterans on the team that know what it takes to win. They played in the NBA Finals and on NBA championship teams. So he's that force, and I know a lot of the young players really look up to him.
Good stuff. Well, Tim, before we let you go, my friend, tomorrow night, Cavaliers hosting the Indiana Pacers. It's the home opener for the Cavaliers in the brand-new Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, or the newly renovated Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, although it feels like a brand-new arena when you walk inside, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, in essence, Bull, it is a brand-new arena, and to see what the Cavaliers and the organization was able to do without literally building a brand-new arena is just amazing. They took what was the shell of the former Q, now Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, and in essence built a new arena completely around it at about 20% of the cost of what a new arena would be. I mean, you look at some of these places in the NBA, and these facilities are upwards to $1 billion to build. Cavaliers did it for about a little less than $200 million, and a huge majority of that privately financed by Dan Gilbert. So it's just amazing. And for folks that haven't been down there yet, I hope they're there for opening night tomorrow night or Cavaliers game in the future, because it is just sparkling. It's really gorgeous. And as you said, it's in essence a brand new arena.
Going to be a lot of fun to see how the Cavaliers match up against the Pacers tomorrow night. Tim, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time, and we look forward to doing these every week throughout the Cavaliers season.
Bull, always good to talk to you. Thanks to North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco for sponsoring this, and look forward to the chats every week.
Good stuff, Tim. Thank you, my friend. Again, Tim Alcorn, voice of the Cleveland Cavaliers, joining us here on our Cavalier Chat. It's brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. Make sure you visit your locally owned and operated North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco at Center Ridge and Barton Roads. They're open every day of the year. We have a Cavalier Grab Bag Mystery Package that we are giving away. It could be a bobblehead, could be a t-shirt, could be a jersey. It could be tickets to a Cavalier basketball game as well. If you're the first to call 440-322-0930, then you'll find out what it is, because you'll be our winner. Again, 440-322-0930. We'll come back with more fun and excitement on Bullseye on the Afternoon after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.